The future of autonomous transportation hit a significant regulatory wall this week. Tesla launched paid Cybercab rides in Austin, a milestone moment, the first commercial deployment of a steering wheel-free robotaxi at scale, and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration opened a formal investigation into how Tesla certified the vehicle as road legal, essentially before the rides had even begun. The timing is striking. Federal regulators were watching the Austin launch in real time and moved immediately.
The NHTSA investigation cuts to a fundamental tension in autonomous vehicle regulation. Tesla's approach has historically been to deploy first, iterate in the field, and work out the regulatory details as they go. That strategy succeeded with autopilot and full self-driving in the sense that the vehicles are on roads and generating real-world data. But a steering wheel-free vehicle is categorically different. There is no human fallback. The NHTSA question of how this was certified as road legal is the right question to be asking, and the fact that they are asking it on day one suggests the agency had concerns before the launch.
The Cybercab represents Elon Musk's most ambitious autonomous claim yet, and the stakes for Tesla's valuation are enormous. Robotaxi revenue potential is the primary justification for Tesla's premium multiple compared to traditional automakers. If the NHTSA probe results in operational restrictions, delayed expansion, or required hardware modifications, that doesn't just affect Austin rides, it affects the entire investment thesis for Tesla's next decade.
Meanwhile, in a Brooklyn federal courtroom, Huawei is finally going to trial on racketeering charges, 7 years after the U.S. government first filed against the company. Jury selection began Tuesday. The charges center on trade secret theft and sanctions evasion, specifically allegations that Huawei stole technology from American companies and used shell entities to continue operating in sanctioned markets, including Iran.
7 years is a long time. The geopolitical landscape has shifted enormously since those charges were first filed. In 2019, charging Huawei felt like a bold move. In 2026, it's happening against the backdrop of a much more hardened U.S.-China technology competition, export controls on semiconductors, and an ongoing debate about Chinese technology in American infrastructure. The trial isn't just a legal proceeding. It's a public accounting of the specific methods by which Huawei allegedly circumvented American law.
This is where I'd bring in a bit of context on the legal framework being used, because racketeering charges, RICO charges, against a foreign corporation are notable. RICO was originally designed to prosecute organized crime, but prosecutors have used it creatively in corporate cases because it allows them to treat multiple individual violations as a pattern of coordinated criminal enterprise. Applying that to Huawei argues that the trade secret theft and sanctions evasion weren't isolated incidents, but part of a systematic, organized pattern of behavior directed from the top. That's a much more aggressive legal posture than simple trade secret litigation.
Sarah's point on RICO actually connects to something I'd flag for listeners as a curriculum corner moment. When people hear racketeering, they often think mobsters, but the legal architecture here is worth understanding. At its core, RICO allows prosecutors to tie together a series of acts, what the law calls predicate offenses, and argue they constitute an organized criminal enterprise. The Sherman Antitrust Act, by comparison, which covers monopolistic behavior, operates on a different principle. It asks whether a company's market conduct unreasonably restrains trade. Courts have held that simply having a large market share isn't enough to establish an antitrust violation. The question is whether that position was acquired or maintained through conduct that excludes competition, predatory pricing, exclusivity arrangements, acquisitions that remove competitive threats. A company can be the dominant player in a market and be entirely legal. The conduct is what matters, not the size. Huawei's RICO case is different because it's about criminal acts, theft, and sanctions evasion, not about market dominance per se. But as we see more tech giants face antitrust scrutiny alongside criminal probes, understanding the distinction matters.
The company hasn't disclosed the specific reasons, but when a buyer walks after deep diligence on a deal that size, the explanations generally fall into a few categories. Valuation disagreement that couldn't be bridged, technical findings that didn't match the pitch, IP or legal concerns uncovered during review, or a strategic reassessment about whether the acquisition fits. Rounding out the AI and tech corporate story today, Anthropic has walked away from a deal to acquire Descartes AI, which would have been a $6 billion acquisition, the largest in Anthropic's history by a significant margin. Bloomberg reported that Anthropic conducted thorough due diligence and then pulled out. The direction the company is moving.
Descartes AI had been positioning itself as a leader in real-time world models for AI, interestingly adjacent to what Unitree is claiming for their humanoid robot, which we'll discuss later. The fact that Anthropic did the work and walked suggests either the $6 billion price tag was disconnected from what diligence revealed, or Anthropic's leadership concluded they could develop similar capabilities internally at lower cost. For a company that is itself still burning capital as it scales, a $6 billion acquisition is not a casual decision to abandon.